Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the 29th of July, only Tuesday, believe it or not. It's misty in Dublin at the minute, but the roads out there are mercifully quiet and the summer has at least a month's worth of summering left to do. Join us in the group chats as ever. The WhatsApp is open, 087 032 32 32. And for your longer thoughts, you can tap out an email to us, oliver@rte.ie. This morning we're going to meet Irish Times writing dude, Hugh Linehan. What other better way to describe him? You'll also have heard his podcasts on politics, and he's on the wireless a fair bit too, usually talking about media, culture, that sort of stuff. But not today, because he joins us today, because he recently addressed his own age-related macular degeneration. This is when our eyes fail due to the passage of time. It's quite common in 55 plus age group, and macular degeneration affects the central part of your retina, which is responsible for that kind of like sharp central vision that you need for activities like reading, driving, recognizing faces. You don't hear enough really about what this means to people when their universe begins to fade away slightly. So that's what he'll be talking to us about later on. Hugh Linehan, 51551 is the text. And hopefully we'll have time, because we've an American comedy writer furious about the cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert by the CBS giant, our parent company, Paramount. And Jill Twiss is her name. She's won awards for writing jokes on the John Oliver Show, which we watch on YouTube over this part of the world. So lots to do today. What is happening? Well, the bank holiday weekend is on the way. That's the good news. It's a huge wedding weekend. So if you're involved in the tens of thousands, enjoy that. And also lots of people travelling. And Mwiris Houston, IrishTimes.com is writing this morning about basically all the kind of bacteria and vices and viruses lurking on the surfaces we touch every day. Legacy of the COVID pandemic gets us all kind of neurotically, hopefully in a healthy way about it. And so when you're going off on your holidays overseas, what do you think are the dirtiest touch points from the airport into your hotels? And they're quite surprising. And he's writing about how a lecturer at the medical microbiology in the University of Westminster looked at the dirtiest items in their lives, and they are places that you don't entirely expect all the time, particularly when you go into the airport. The security trays, they are a source of nasty potential infection, handled by hundreds, if not thousands, of people in certain airports. They're rarely ever cleaned. And the researchers found huge levels of bacteria on these trays at the security, including E. coli. And the study looked for viruses in other parts of the airport, but the security trays are covered in the highest concentration of respiratory viruses. It's a nasty place. 20 million passengers pass through Finland's busiest airport every year, Mwiris writes, making contact with surfaces like the armrests in the chairs when you're waiting, the escalator handrails, toys in the children's play area, of course, the trolley handles and the luggage trays mostly. And they've swabbed all these surfaces. They found flu, respiratory, terrible viruses, rhinovirus, the coronavirus and all the other various coronaviruses. And the results showed them on 10% of the places, including the rhinovirus that causes the main culprit for the common cold. But while plastic security trays had the highest concentration, the most unusual positive swab location were the buttons on the credit card payment device at the pharmacy in the airport. You'd never think of it, would you? But that's the reason why people are running into the pharmacy before they get on the plane. So basically, wash your hands after security in particular, or bring your hand sani with you and use it, especially after, before you go eat and touch your face in the coffee section afterwards. The trolley handle's also another terrible place. And then you get to the airport, you think you're fine now, you're away from the dirty airport. So you get to the hotel, and the hidden dangers of the items are the hotel TV remote. Mwiris says he was surprised to read that hotel remote controls can be dirtier than toilet seats. They're rarely sanitized, and the research show they harbour common bacteria like E. coli and various things. Also your own phone, because you've gone through the filthy spaces, your own phone is filthier than the toilet seat of a public lavatory. Are you grossed out enough? Get the hand sani out and the wipes and so on. And another one, which is quite disturbing. When you're on the move, you're in your hotels, your short-term let or wherever you are, you're in unfamiliar bathrooms. It's worth being careful how we store your toothbrush in each of these new locations, because flushing a toilet releases a plume of microscopic droplets which can land on nearby toothbrushes. This is the importance of closing the lid entirely when you're flushing. If you've seen the toilet plume, E. coli plume on the internet, you will never flush a toilet with the lid open ever again. So basically, rinse a toothbrush after every use, let it air dry upright, store as far away from the toilet as possible to protect yourself from the source of microbes. Then you get on the plane and people are coughing and sneezing anyway. Just be kind of careful out there, but not neurotically careful. And I still see those poor, unfortunate people walking around with the face masks outdoors, and you're going, there, never recovered from the terror of COVID-19, and wearing a face mask outside does absolutely nothing. But there's no talking to them. You just have to feel bad. Now, the trade deal is all over the place as well. The Irish Independent says, Ireland is in the dark over the fate of pharma in Trump's tariff deal. Enormous confusion in government about what products will be covered by the 15% tariff that will kick in on Friday. This is happening very soon. Now, the New York Times shed some light on this with an emphatic report. 15% this morning, they're saying the 15% rate on pharmaceuticals is final, according to White House officials and senior European Commission officials. And they remind their American audience, pharmaceutical products are Europe's number one export to the US. European officials are worried these tariffs could prompt drug makers to pull back on investments at the expense of jobs, factories and tax revenue. Well, it's certain now, 15%. And it reminds its readers that Ireland is a pharma manufacturing hub, in part because doing business there helps the drug companies lower their overall tax bills. They're saying the quiet bit out loud, we never say here. Nearly all of the largest drug makers, American ones, have factories in Ireland. Last year, Ireland sent the US $50 billion worth of pharma products. And so the only bit that's in the dark over what kind of the confusion I'm talking about, the New York Times says, is just a few generic drugs made in Europe will be exempt from the tariff. But the White House is not saying which drugs would be exempt, or even if that's going to happen. But Ursula von der Leyen's trade deal, the outline of it with Trump, appears to be going down very well. European markets are falling. The euro has slumped against the dollar. France and Germany hate it. Only the Trump-whispering Italians like it. And, of course, Ireland. We're saying, oh, it's a great, great news. We always like everything Brussels does, don't we? Even when we're effective, we're saying, this is very good, very important. But you heard the Taoiseach and his ministers saying, this is a big win for us. You know, he threatened 30%. We only get smacked with 15. It's a mighty success. It's a bit like explaining, there was this fella now who wanted to burn the entire house down, mad for the matches, this lad. And so we could have threatened to burn his house down, but we're very respectable people. We wouldn't do that at all in terms of, and we're also afraid of him. So we talked to him, and now he's agreed to only burn down our sitting room. And in return, we get to give him a pull of money to do up his sitting room in solid gold. So, yep, the sitting room is gone, and Auntie Maura will have to have her tea in the porch now, even in the winter when she comes to visit. But when you think of it, it's a wonderful victory. The whole house is still standing. Smell smoke. No, we can't do the sitting room up ever again. But stability in the national interest. The country's new slogan for business. Sure, it could be worse. It could be much worse. Now, I don't know where services are on the tariffs, but there's very good news in the Examiner this morning in terms of Irish success in services going off across to America. A computer video game developed in Cork, this is an Irish company, sold more than a million copies in just 4 days when they released it on the 15th of July. It's called Ready or Not. It went out on the PlayStation and Xbox. It cost €50 per game, a million in 4 days. And it has now pushed through the 10 million barrier. It's a first-person action game. It's set in the fictional dystopian city of Los Sueños in the US. But Void Interactive is the name of the company. They're based at the National Esports Center on the South Mall. And Ready or Not is a success story kind of quietly being told there. And the Examiner, of course, would also tell us that sales of Murphy's Stout are surging in Britain. Murphy's Stout sales rose by 176%. On licensed trade in the pubs, that is, last year. And they're doing, so Murphy's looked like it was kind of a decline, flying across, in part because their main rival at St. James's Gate have been promoting stout, and Murphy's have got a bit of a lift out of it. But very good things for Irish business, which you need to cling to, given the atmosphere at the moment. Speaking of other exports, we have, of course, books. You heard Morning Ireland discuss the Booker Prize. But did you know the Booker Prize is a place of extraordinary consternation and weeping? Who would have thought writers would be furious and emotional? The Booker Prize, we'll hear at 2 o'clock today who's won it. And by the way, we're hoping to hear our friends of the show, like Gareth Carr and Elaine Feeney over in East Galway. And Wendy Erskine wrote amazing books this year. We'll be on that list. We're hoping the long list, I should say. And then you get the short list around September, and then the winner is November. So you get a long list today. The Booker Prize has been long referred to as posh bingo by the writer Julian Barnes. He won in 2011, was nominated 3 times and eventually got there. As you know, Roddy Doyle is the chair of the panel. And I'm not sure, talking to some Irish writers quietly, they're saying that if they suspect a judge is a friend with an author, they might have to leave the room. And this might also count against the Irish nominees because with such a well-known Irish chair of the judging panel, if there are a lot of Irish names on, it might be seen as bias. So it could work against them. Sarah Jessica Parker is also there as well, has an Irish bias because of her house in Donegal with Matthew Broderick, who was celebrating Donegal and up for the match the other day. But the judges have to read 160 books in 6 months. Sarah Jessica Parker says she reads 2 books a day to get them in time for the long list, which they now know. And some of them are massive, basically. Some of them are massive. And there are huge rows. Some of the Booker Prize panels of the past have told the guy in the past that they don't... some of them, the people ask, you must be best friends with them now. I've discussed all these books for months and ends. No, never spoke to them again. There were ructions over various things. In 1979, the renowned Conservative Malcolm Muggeridge, remember that name? He withdrew as chairman of the judging panel due to a lack of sympathy with entries, castigating them as mere pornography, he said most of the books were. Philip Larkin also said he'd go mad if a particular book didn't win. That was Paul Scott's Staying On. It actually won. 1994 was probably the most consternation. 6 o'clock on the day, they were supposed to announce the winner. No one was agreed what the winner was. And they produced the winner. But it was this first Scottish winner. How Late It Was, How Late by James Kelman. But one judge said the novel was a disgrace and unacceptable and was too long and included too much swearing, basically. And even in the Pulitzer Prize last year, Percival Everett's novel James, reimagining of Huckleberry Finn, wasn't the first choice of the jury, but they couldn't agree. They had 3 finalists and they refused to agree to anything. They rowed over the 3 books. And so they picked the one that was 4th, and that happened to be Percival. And the fact that they announced that undermined the winner at all. So someone could be tearing out hair. You'd never know, fistfuls of hair coming out of the panel. Rosie O'Donnell now has been taken to heart in Ireland, but not in today's Irish Times. A savage review of her comedy show, Common Knowledge, in the Olympia Theatre the other day by Ruby Eastwood. Who is this young writer, daring, fearless writer, who said O'Donnell's vision of Ireland is ridiculous. She praises the lollipop lady, the kindly pharmacist, the atmosphere of calm and peace, the country's incredible hospitality. Has she read the news? O'Donnell closes the evening with a little homily on how we must get through the hard times with endurance and laughter. Then Angels by Robbie Williams booms from the speakers as a slideshow showing her kid hugging a dog in their nice Sandy Mount home. Ruby Eastwood concludes and said, "It's the most I laugh all night." Oh, God. Robbie Williams' Angels. Some reference points. Someone needs to get Rosie. But the show will be tidied up for Edinburgh, sure. But the bravery of the savagery, I applaud. Rosie O'Donnell wouldn't care. And someone else who doesn't care about anything is Maria Carey, who we have to call Mariah Carey under the international standards of pronouncing names abroad. She says, well, she's been famous now for 30 years, it says here, and she's now only 56 years of age. Is that all she is? Mother of 2, she puts her ageless beauty down to simply ignoring the passage of time. So she just doesn't acknowledge time. I don't allow it. Aging, that is. It just doesn't happen to me. I don't know time. I don't know numbers. I do not acknowledge time. Seems extraordinary. I love the interviewer asked, how do you make appointments if you don't acknowledge time? Oh, I would have somebody call you and figure it out. So as only Mariah Carey could get away with it. All you need is kind of staff to run your personal life. I don't deal with time. I'm never going to get old. That's it. I don't have birthdays. I decided to do that. I've noticed people who decide not to have birthdays, they just don't have them. What age is she in her head? I don't know. But she is. She is beautiful and ageless. And as is this song too. 51551 is the text. She's up and running. She doesn't even have an intro either. Straight into it. Good morning. Mariah Carey there. She's timeless, isn't she? She's timeless that she is. She is infinity land. She's going to live forever, apparently. On the bacteria stuff and the germs, what a load of nonsense. My ma used to say, what you don't know won't kill you. It's far from bacteria you were born, says Johnny, which was a great time when there was, it wasn't international travel by the hour and we didn't have coronaviruses and billions of people on the planet spreading and so on. In relation to germs at the airport, one tester says, stop, enough already. And then on the mask wearing, which I mentioned, people wearing them outdoors. I wear a mask when I go into public buildings because I'm post-stem cell transplant. I'm immunocompromised, not because I'm neurotic. It feels weird enough as it is without you adding to the embarrassment, says Martin to me. Well, I meant outdoors. And also all that research about the compulsory masks unfortunately concluded that it didn't work because you needed absolutely everybody in the world to wear the masks was the issue. But mostly it's the outdoors. But I see where you're coming from. I acknowledge it, Martin. And good luck with everything you're doing. Incredible technology that keeps people alive now. Stem cells, which at one stage people thought was too playing with God. And now look, it's kept loads of people alive. On the Rosie O'Donnell. Someone was at the Rosie O'Donnell concert. Did they enjoy it as much as the Irish Times reviewer who gave it a savage review? I was a Rosie O'Donnell. It was excruciatingly cheesy and so unfunny. Jesus, go home, Rosie. You don't get the Irish comic savage imagination, says Mary. Wow. Well, Rosie O'Donnell's been posting a picture of the Sydney Opera House and announcing that I presume she's going to do a show there, and which people in Ireland have replied, now she's really Irish because she's already considering emigration. From here, very good. Hugh Linen is coming into us. Let's have a chat to him right after these.